quick talk. I think it shows expert. I'm actually not going to go that deep. So I am a... Actually, let me go back. Okay, so I think we should rethink some concepts of the Ethereum account model and also the account models that we're using on L2s, specifically to scale. This is a forgotten mechanism to scale. I'll go into some things here really quickly. I think deterministic state addresses and state access is really important in order to accomplish this. I think there has been discussions of access lists in the past that didn't necessarily get enough traction, but this actually can provide significant scaling, indexing improvements, and security improvements to Ethereum as a whole. So with access lists or account lists, you know the state ahead of time that you can touch. This allows for being able to do things like execute concurrently. Since you know the different parts of a graph of nodes that you are touching, this can be enforced by the runtime. It prevents any overrides. For example, if two swap transactions are happening through the same protocol, but the same token, this can actually happen concurrently. So I sort of think of this as another mechanism for multiplexing, spawning parallel processors. Another way to think about it is knowing your I/O ahead of time, and or having a essentially a built-in mechanism for sharding as well. I think this also works really well for multiple concurrent proposers. This can go hands in hand. It's really great. Again, I'll go into ERC-20 as an example. ERC-20 sort of represents a massive global state that everyone can touch. And anytime anyone touches it, this sort of creates a global lock on the system. And so, you know, I sort of mentioned this, so, you know, I'll go ahead and skip this part. So this is like, I got this silly graph here, but you can see there's different parts that are being touched. And in this case, you could split this up into three different concurrent processing or execution, which can actually make things really interesting. From the security side, this is really helpful as well. I think security and the data side, like once we're indexing and once we get things to scale and get really, really fast, these are things we think about. We don't think about this a lot currently in the Ethereum ecosystem. I think there's maybe some exceptions. TJ's here. But as things scale really big and we get to the point that we're dealing with like hundreds of thousands of transactions per second across all the L2s, actually having mechanisms that inherently provide better indexing via the account model can be extremely helpful. But again, a proof pattern on ERC-20s, I'm just giving specific concrete examples. Obviously, we all know it's a disaster. You don't know ahead of time when you look at the shape of a transaction. You don't know what accounts will end up being touched. You don't know where the funds can end up being spent. You don't have a deterministic way to know what reads or writes are going to happen. If you know this ahead of time, then this actually prevents a lot of safeguards that you have to do on the contract layer. And this is what I call an account-centric model. I think we've seen this in some of the concepts of like Move ecosystem. I think SVM has done this. There's been some experimentation with other models as well. And varying parts of them are interesting. So this also helps for things like memory, programmatic ownership patterns, memory ownership patterns across different levels of the stack when we're calling calling between different contracts. So, also it's really fast at the pre-processing level from security perspective. I think what's gonna happen is we're gonna have a lot of wallets that are going to look at the fingerprint of a transaction ahead of time and let you know without processing on chain or simulating on chain, what are sort of security aspects that could be vulnerabilities. And so this actually makes this really clean. This is where you can have like a easily readable format of what your transaction's about to do. That's sort of the thing. I'm all for state access lists. Again, I'd love to see this come back and have this as part of mechanisms to make things run concurrently on Ethereum and the L2s and scale that. That's all. Any questions?
Okay, thank you all. Do you have questions? Okay, I saw your hands, so.
That was good. So yeah, I have this question. Like, there was a paper published maybe last year about access list by some people at Zurich, and the outcome of the paper is essentially the discount is not high enough. Many people who are using access list are misusing it. Many clients are implementing it incorrectly, and so on and so forth. So what steps concretely we should take to solve those problems? Increasing discount or what?
Yeah, I think in general, you need to enshrine more into the actual consensus on rules on how access lists can be used, different aspects like that. And then also from the security side, it's really important. And then I also think, I think that particular study looked at it comparing to what the current patterns are on chain. I think if you make the changes to have a model like this, some of the programmatic patterns will change and therefore will lead to scaling naturally. But yeah.
Next question? Okay.
Beautiful. So the ETH research post or discussion that was talking about state access lists way back in the day is cited by Fuel, and there's been some extra thought on that and some developments. Are there any differences between your absolute dream, like, you know, pie in the sky, perfect if you were a dictator model of state access, and what Fuel is currently running?
I think what Fuel is doing is elegant. So I think it follows a more account-centric model. It's like sort of like in a UTXO model is the way that I see it. And with UTXO-style models, you have better determinism around accounts, and it's much easier to see what you're going to touch ahead of time and what you won't. So I think with regards to Ethereum, it'll never go to that extreme. But I think there's good balances to where we can sort of keep some of the beauties of the current account model, but also have additional speed and security. Thanks.
Last question. Okay.
Oh, TJ. Hello.
Can you just define these lists, and then how do you calculate this list prior to the transaction happening? I never understood that.
How do you? Oh, okay. So basically, any state that you access, you can deterministically write. You can have a hash that represents that state that you're going to access, for example. And so anything that you touch, any of those state locations, would be referenced via a list of hashes, essentially. That's one mechanism to do it. There's a bunch of different, but yeah.
How do you know that without running the transaction?
So you have to, how do you, sorry?
How do you get that without running the transaction?
Yeah, so the user would run the transaction ahead of time, right? Or may run the transaction ahead of time before they form that. And then it's enforced in the consensus protocol. If that makes sense. So that means people who are listening for transactions that are coming in, wallets that are trying to validate the security of a transaction, things like that, know that these are the things that are going to be touched, and there's no like bit flip that might happen that might suddenly have it touch like 10 other accounts that could end up siphoning funds or do some type of bridge attack mechanism, if that makes sense.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Let's talk later.
Thank you so much, guys. Let's give a hand of applause for Wales. And thank you for your amazing questions. Like I said, it's going to be interesting this morning. Our next speaker is